Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm not queer like the others.
Two Faces Radio.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
You know, Hank, I was just wondering why you say that "Hey Now" thing.
What do you mean?
Well, it's just something that you used on the show, and now you start using it in your personal life, and it's an affectation of some sort, isn't it? Did you ever say "Hey Now" as a kid?
No, I don't. I probably didn't.
Uh-huh.
But I said, hey.
Yeah.
And I said, now. Yeah, right, I right, said sure. Different times.
I
never put them together till later.
It's not even in the dictionary, "Hey Now."
Okay. This is how I use "Hey Now" in a sentence, okay? You say, "And of course, my sidekick, Hank."
"And of course, my sidekick, Hank."
"Hey Now."
"Hank."
That's a sentence.
"No. Hank, listen. I just prefer you not do it on the show anymore, okay? I just, it gets on my nerves, it gets on the audience's nerves as well."
"No, sir. No, sir. No.
Hank.
Look, you're not out there. And believe me, it's very big with the audience. And I'm going to tell you something else. I think it helps make the show work. It's part of our whole interplay on camera."
"By interplay, you mean the times we're both awake?"
"Hey Now."
I've been nerding out with you since "Please Don't Hit Me, Mom," because my mom, I'm not kidding, my mom was totally a Patty Duke fan, so I got into all
UBC the UBC After School Special,
yeah.
Circa 1978,
yep.
And you were geeking out on it. I love that. How old are you now?
I'm 43. I'll be 44 in a month.
Well, I guess we were kind of contemporaries.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Ira Malkin, Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
And welcome, excuse me, I'm loud there. Yeah, hey, welcome to episode 016 of Radio Labyrinth. I am Tim Andrews, and I'm joined as always by Ira Malkin.
Hey, I can't do it. I can't do it. The "Hey Now."
Oh.
I was going to leave it for Jeff to do.
"Hey Now."
Jeff Leboff.
"Hey Now."
And?
"Hey Now."
Steph Swain.
And Tim in his little book.
Tim in my little book. Now, y'all shut up, because I'm going to do something here that radio.
You got a little black book.
Radio people do this. So you got to be quiet and let me do this.
Show us.
This is called setting the table.
Ooh.
For the show.
Oh, okay.
Back time.
Make
first.
Make sure the forks are in the right
table.
Place.
No one, you don't have the back time anymore. Ready? In episode 016, we are going to talk about a whole bunch of things. Of course, you heard sad news. Gary Shandling passed away. You heard the one of my favorite bits from the Larry Sanders Show. You know, interaction between Hank and Larry was always what made the show super funny.
Right.
Jeff's going to review Batman versus Superman a little later.
Sort of, no spoilers.
You can give spoilers.
Well, maybe, because none of y'all are going to see it now because of the reviews.
I'm not going to see it, I can tell you that, so I don't care about spoilers. We're going to also rank our favorite Batman actors from worst to first, and we're starting with the Adam West era in that configuration, and then all the movies from 89 to the present, and then, of course, we're going to do Who Dies, and we're going to rate reviews, and we're going to talk about a lot of things, so welcome.
It's so action-packed. I'm excited.
I don't know if it's action-packed. We're sitting in a circle.
It's good
at
to
each
be
other.
Back.
It is good to be back.
I need a good podcast.
Yeah?
I need a good hang.
The Carpenter podcast. How's that hanging?
Your contract.
Contractor.
To catch a contractor.
Yeah.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
To catch a contractor's corner.
Yeah. How's it going?
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great, man. If you guys, if you radios haven't checked that one out, Contractor's Corner podcast with my buddy Reese Nazaro from Buffalo, New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
Can you get us
no,
a good beef,
like
on, beef on Wick?
It's possible.
Can you make that?
He can do anything Italian. He can make
what
you
about
lasagna.
Wings? Can he do some wings?
He can make you some...
yeah, sure, if you want them in pasta sauce.
What are the Italians called? They're called
gravy.
Huh?
It's gravy.
Gravy, yeah. Yeah. They don't call it that.
The poor kid was stirring
gravy. People who watch
and...
The Sopranos call it that.
No?
They don't call it the Sunday gravy? I don't know.
Don't you think that a lot of that shit sort of came into our culture?
Well, that's like the whole mob thing was influenced by the book.
The what book?
The Mario Puzo book. Like, yeah. There was a bunch of shit that the mafia didn't really do, but he just made it up for the book. But
and then they took it
all
on.
All of a sudden, the mafia started
right.
doing that.
Yeah, all right. To emulate the movie.
Right.
What came first, the meatball or the bust?
That's a wise guy. See, I'm James. James Cagney. Right. See?
Yeah, see?
You know the movie Johnny Dangerously with
Michael
Keaton?
My grandmother hung me on a hook once.
Joe Piscopo. By the way, Joe Piscopo has a radio show now.
Oh, yeah?
You can follow him on Twitter at Jersey Joe Piscopo.
Is it syndicated or is it on satellite?
No, but you can listen to just about any show now online if you want to.
Johnny Dangerously was really his best work other than Frank Sinatra.
The movie that's based on, the Public Enemy... Number one,
yeah,
it's the parallels are great, you know, with the mom, you know, hitting the pillows, but
yeah, see, I don't know the parallels.
Bargain ice hole.
Yeah, oh Jesus. The rest of you and your bastard just can gamble.
I'm standing there with my dork in my hand.
Oh, he was so
Boyle,
he was
good.
So good at that.
Also, Alan Hale Jr. is in that movie.
Who does he play?
The skipper from,
the skipper from
Gilligan's Island.
Right, but I can't remember.
He plays the Irish policeman.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Meet me over at Morty's after.
Yeah, that guy.
And Griffin Dunn. Griffin Dunn was
Griffin Dunn, yeah.
His little brother.
Oh, my God.
I loved Griffin Dunn. What happened to him?
I loved him, too.
Yeah. Who's that girl?
His dad's on People vs. O.J.
His
Not
dad?
Not really his dad.
What do you mean his dad?
Isn't Dominic Dunn his dad?
Shit, I don't know. You mean the writer?
Yeah, but he was at the O.J. trial.
Right,
time,
and the guy from Mad Men.
And then
he
had a show where he talked about court and stuff.
Yeah, Dominic Dunn.
Yeah, Dominic Dunn.
Yeah.
After Hours.
His daughter got killed, too.
What?
Yeah.
Griffin Dunn's
sister.
Yeah.
Was it Rebecca Schaefer?
Was that Rebecca Schaefer?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She got beat to death, right?
Well,
right.
The first time stalking came into
the... Yeah, she had
in the driveway
protection.
Or something?
Yeah. She had like the...
He came to her door.
Yeah.
She had a restraining order.
A restraining order. That's it, yeah.
He kept showing up at the set of My Sister Sam, which was a huge show at the time.
Oh, yeah. Right. Bam Dauber.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. So, wow. I love it when we go down these rabbit holes.
Wait. One more Griffin Dunn thing.
Yes.
After Hours.
Yeah. Good movie.
Do you like that movie?
About, yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one of those movies that could never... It doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's one of my favorites.
All
the time.
All right, so...
Sorry.
You know what movie's still hysterical, even though it's so dated? The Jerk.
The Jerk is still funny. Oh. Is he in that?
No, but I was just watching The Jerk the other day.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, like, how this movie holds up so well.
It's so funny that you said that. We had a drug rep who brought lunch to our office today, and I was sure that he had the OptiGrab on his glasses at some point. They had to have.
We were headed up to the mountains last weekend, and we had to stop and get gas, and Caitlin was pumping it.
He hates these cans.
No, I turned around, and I went, die, gas pumper. And she went, what? And I didn't say anything. I just laughed at myself. All right, end of this rabbit hole. We are talking about the late, great Gary Shandling, who passed away last Friday?
Yes.
Saturday, Friday.
It's hard to say who died when you're talking about Gary.
It is, because, I mean, he was only 66 years old, and he's, go ahead.
Who would have thought, watching Larry Sanders, though, that Gary Shandling would pass before Hank and before Rip Torn?
I know,
no
Rip
shit.
Torn's
well, especially
still
Rip Torn. Yeah.
My God.
I didn't think about Rip Torn. He's still around, huh?
Yeah, he's still around. There's a great Howard Stern Gary Shandling interview. You could probably find it on YouTube or find it on Sirius's site if it's on demand. But the first time they had spoken to each other in maybe 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, what did they have a problem with?
No problem. They just couldn't coordinate it.
Oh,
and he was talking about, you know, Howard brought up Rip Torn.
Yeah.
And he just was laughing. He goes, yeah, he has his issues. Yeah, you know, he thought he lived in a bank. And
well, he got arrested at somebody's house. So he thought it was his house.
Yeah.
Oh, is that? Yeah, see, I don't know the Rip Torn stories.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a classic interview. I like to save old interviews from old shows, especially if they're good and entertaining. I can listen to them again and again.
I went back and listened to the You Made It Weird podcast.
Yeah, I was going to do that too. I downloaded it. I haven't listened to it.
Oh, so good,
yeah.
Guys. It's like 2 hours long, but
yeah.
I mean, just because, you know, it's like it was only a couple months ago, and it's so ominous, mm-hmm. so many of the things that he talks about. And just the fact I had no idea, like, who he truly was as a person.
Right.
You will find that out in that
I got to do that.
Podcast.
What's the podcast?
It's Pete Holmes's You Made It Weird.
Yeah, yeah. You Made It Weird.
You know, he was such an interesting guy outside of, you know, playing Larry Sanders, because he really only did things that he wanted to do. He did that. He did It's Gary Shandling's Show, which I'm not super familiar with.
See, I'm the opposite of you. I was more It's a Gary Shandling Show guy. Mm-hmm. And even though I loved Larry Sanders, I just wasn't as familiar with mm-hmm.
it. I was obsessed with it because it was on Fox when they had like five shows.
Right.
It was
yeah.
that, The Simpsons, Married with right. Children, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody was like, this network's going to tank. And
that theme song is still the greatest
thing.
Oh, it's
so good.
Ever.
And have you seen the clip where he talks about when they came up with it?
No.
I saw it on YouTube or whatever. But.
What is the premise, or what was the premise of It's Gary Shandling Show?
I mean, he was a comedian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like
Seinfeld. Yeah.
And when was it on?
It was like 87, 88.
Right when Fox started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And,
it was one of their first
okay,
shows, exactly. Yeah, but that's what he said whenever they were trying to bang out the theme song. It's like, I want it to be like a theme song, but not a theme song. And they just started saying it, like, this is the Gary Shandling Show.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sit and he goes, that's it. That's the song. Right. And the guy's like, he's like, there's no way. This is so silly. And he goes, no, that's it. That's
and,
the song.
And there were other people on the show who went on to be big as well, right?
I can't remember.
Can you look that up, Jeff?
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, he broke the fourth wall through the entire show.
Okay,
which
so
was
he
like
spoke to the audience, and it was one of those first shows that did
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
It was groundbreaking with that type of stuff. Yeah, I just remember it was like nothing we had ever seen.
Absolutely. I was obsessed with it, when I was a kid.
And that's, again, how I feel about the Larry Sanders Show, especially if you're in, you know, the industry, or, you know, if you work in that and you have, you know, to a lesser degree, television, you know.
See, what year did that start now? Because that was probably,
I think it was 92 or 93.
Yeah, see, that was in that little period where I was just not watching.
It was
TV.
Before Jeremy Piven was anybody. It was
right.
Before, or like Janine Garofalo, she was just kind of hitting her stride. And
yeah, but she had already been on Saturday Night Live, I think.
Yeah, and like, had she been in Reality Bites yet? That was, Larry Sanders before that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Also, Marilyn Ricecub.
Yeah.
She played not Hank's assistant. She was an assistant on the show. And she slept with Hank because she hit his car.
Hank.
Hey, now. God. Yeah, but the way that he took the talk show wars from the early 90s, which people may or may not remember, but you know, if you're our age in your 40s, you should, you know,
totally.
That this went on. And he created this syndicated night talk show host, Larry Sanders. And you had the whole gamut. You had the band, you had the sidekick. And whenever it was the TV show portion, it was videotaped. So it looked like you were watching a television show.
Right,
and then
right.
when it was the real part of their lives, it was all filmed.
Yeah.
And it was great. And they really, you know, broke a lot of barriers with that as far as television goes. And it was on HBO.
Well, and they were way before their time with this kind of faux reality.
Right.
So like The Office and stuff wouldn't exist
absolutely.
Without Larry Sanders Show.
And the huge stars that he had on the show as guests and the fact that they would play along. And
well, somebody posted that Norm MacDonald clip when he was on.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I've seen it. I just don't recall what he was saying.
It was just hilarious. I guess they were talking about Hank's dick or something.
Hank had a sex tape.
Yes, that's right.
That's what it was.
You see that?
Have you seen Hank's tape?
Sex tape?
Oh, yeah. And
he's got a hog on him.
Dick was huge, and he was trying to get the orange juice.
He was talking to Henry Winkler, too. Henry Winkler was like,
he's like
the nicest guy in the entire world.
Yeah.
And he's like talking about Hank's cock.
Oh, you know, he is a very nice man.
Henry Winkler is the nicest man in the world.
I will gladly sign that for you.
I remember that. You interviewed him a few times, didn't you?
Yeah, and after the first time I interviewed him, I met him, Jeff and I met him, where, at this Comic-Con?
Wizard World Comic-Con, that's the Wizard World that we went to.
That was a fun one.
The 20 bucks, didn't
No, he gave me a discount.
Oh, okay.
He goes, because you interviewed me, I'm going to let you have a discount.
$18.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
No, but when he was slow, he would stand there and talk to you and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like he made a point of like coming over to talk to me.
Yeah, it wasn't just, you know.
He grabbed me by my shoulders and he looked into my eyes and he said, "You are so beautiful."
Oh,
and I
wow.
think he meant as a human being,
yeah.
you know, whatever. And
no.
he gave me the warmest hug.
So
and I can't even tell you what I turned into inside that
oh,
Fonzie
wow.
was hugging me like this.
What demons is he buried under?
I don't know.
What is he covering up? With all that niceness.
There can't be anything. There can't be anything.
I swear that he was like running for president or something someday because he's so like over the top nice.
Well, he's
like,
too old now.
Nah, I guess he is now, but like.
Free to be you and me.
Great story I heard with him in an interview where he was, you know, the whole jumping the shark thing and the water ski thing. He's like, you know, my parents were these, you know, Romanian Jewish parents, and they were always like, tell the producers on Happy Days that you know how to water ski. Maybe you could work it into the show. So he said, finally, they were running out of ideas, and I finally said, you know, I water ski.
Oh, God.
Hey, Mr. C, I can water ski.
The worst part about the whole thing is that he's wearing the leather jacket. That's just,
yeah.
that was
yeah.
the worst part.
And the pompadour never moves.
No.
But who else? I mean, the guests are so... You see, I had this thing. I have the box set my dad got me for Christmas a number of years ago.
I want to borrow that.
It's not the full series, though. It's just the best of, right?
No, it's the entire... It came out after the best of. They finally released all of
it. Oh, they released the entire thing?
Yeah, every season with bonus stuff and... you know, not new bonus stuff. It's bonus
right.
stuff. Anyway.
You're talking Larry Sanders or Happy yeah. Days?
Larry Sanders. Oh. I don't know who the fuck has the Happy
well,
Days
that's,
DVD.
I was confused.
I have it on Blu-ray.
Talking about Happy Days.
I have it on Blu-ray.
You can watch Happy Days from the beginning on, like, MeTV or something.
I only have the episode with Mork. Just that episode.
Yeah. That's a great episode.
It is great.
So, anyway, back to Larry Sanders. I have the box set, and I've been, you know, over the years, I've tried to get people to sign it. I haven't really been diligent about it, but everybody who's been a guest or whatever, so I have Andy Kindler signed it. Mary Lynn Ricegoob, Scott Thompson, who joined the show later,
yeah.
who became Hank's assistant, who's fucking great. Bobcat signed it. He went on Larry Sanders after
he set the Tonight Show
Tonight
on fire.
Show on fire, yeah. So it's to me, it's the show that when I watch it, I'm really brought back to the 90s. I'm brought back to exactly how I felt back then,
yeah.
the music, the movies, the stuff going on in pop culture. So that's where it drags me. And it's not a melancholy, blah, blah, blah thing. It's just a good feeling to put yourself in that place.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the way Artie works as a producer, you know, to watch the ins and outs of that, excuse me, kind of helped me with my job. You know, when I was actually sure. being a producer instead of, you know, hating doing the producer job. So when I enjoyed it on the regular guy's show, it was, you know, it was inspiration. You know, of course, I didn't have the authority and I couldn't yell like he could. But I love the way Larry made him handle everything.
I love the episode whenever he's out because he had the surgery and he brings in the schmarmy guys.
Mm-hmm.
What does he say that looks like? Oh God, Lynn and looks and sounds like Lynn Redgrave.
That guy was on General Hospital, by the way.
Yeah, I was wondering who the hell. I can't remember where all I'd seen him.
That guy in that thing.
That guy in that thing.
He's a British guy in that thing.
Yeah, and already got drunk and showed up and said, "Quit! Fuck you! You son of a bitch!" Oh God. Anyway, you know, we could go on, but Jeff, you Oh, wait, Jeff and I went right after. Remember that before you get to your story, the movie that he made after Larry Sanders finished was called What Planet Are You From?
Yeah.
And yeah.
I didn't know.
And it got panned, but it was actually very fucking funny.
It's a hysterical movie.
He didn't have genitals, so he had an attachment that was a vibrator.
Right.
He had to go to Earth and fall in love, and he meets Annette Bening, and
holy shit.
She's like, oh.
Annette Bening.
Yeah, back
I
when
no problem with Annette Bening.
Yeah, when Annette Bening was bangable back in the day.
I remember.
But she would get naked for a dollar.
No, she's in the movie. She fucks a landlord in Grifters.
Oh, that was, yeah.
The guy from Hee Haw. That guy. He was on Hee Haw.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And then he got to fuck Annette Bening in what's that movie I just mentioned? The Grifters.
The Grifters.
Oh, that's a gross movie.
It is.
Yeah.
Angelica Houston gets beat up with a sack of oranges.
Yeah, and her son have got some disgusting love.
Is that Cusack?
Yeah, it is.
Man, I brought Cusack, earlier today.
It was the
golden age of Cusack.
Incest in that movie. Yes.
I don't like that.
Nah, I don't approve.
I don't like it.
It was a good movie, though.
There's a movie called Spanking the Monkey, if you're into incest movies.
That bothered me, too. Yeah,
that was a very disturbing film.
Fell into a quarry.
What?
That's the last line in the film.
Oh, yeah, he fell in a quarry. Is that when he put his penis in his mom, or when he
into a quarry?
I don't know why I remember that.
It was a euphemism, for I'm sure his mother's vagina
fell into a quarry. Yeah. But it was kind of that wraps up the whole movie.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Who was the dad in that? That was
I don't know.
That was a guy in that.
That was a one time I saw it once, then I got through it, and I was just I felt like I deserved something.
Nobody see that with their parents.
No, who directed that? Was that
It was one of those
David
guys.
O. Russell.
Yeah, David O. Russell.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was
Spanking the Monkey.
I prefer the fighter
with the guy who'd eventually go on to play a weirdo in Lost.
And
also a weirdo in
Justified.
Yes.
And he was in an army movie.
I always got that guy confused with Henry Thomas.
Yeah,
me too. Little witness boy.
Yeah, little witness boy.
Oh, Saving Private Ryan, maybe?
Yeah, he was in that.
Yeah,
that's
he
right.
Was.
He played. Yeah, he was all fragile.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jeff was telling us over text that your father had a relationship with the Shandlings or lived near them or something.
He knew who they were.
What town were they in?
Tucson.
Tucson, okay, yeah. And they lived close by each other?
Yeah, well, when my dad was a kid, they lived down the street from him.
Yeah.
And he was like maybe 5 years younger than my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew who he was from the neighborhood or whatever, but it wasn't friends with him or anything.
But did your dad ever talk about him or like?
Yeah, I mean, he was always a fan of his when he started out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were in Tucson, we'd drive by his old house. Because my dad would want to drive by his old childhood home, and then we'd go. And they go, there's Gary Shandling's house.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how'd your dad get into him? Jeff's dad used to know all the best comedians. He'd know them before everybody else.
I thought he knows everything.
He did. But Shandling, what? He started in the 70s with the Seinfeld and those guys.
Yeah, Letterman, Leno,
Shandling.
They said he just moved to L.A. You didn't know anybody out there. And he just started hanging out at the Comedy Store, and that's the way a lot of guys did it, You just start making friends, and
he was a TV writer,
right?
Sanford and Son.
Oh yeah,
you got to wonder what jokes he wrote for that show.
I want to know what episodes. Absolutely, I have to go back and look.
I remember
that up.
Greg Fitzsimmons telling a story, I guess on Corolla Podcast or something, that what the fuck, Sanford and Son.
Red Fox.
Like, was getting pissed off at all the writers. He had all these writers and just, like, fired everybody and then brought in. Actually, I think he said, get all these guys out of here and bring me in some Jews.
Get all these guys out of here and bring me in some Jews.
Yeah. Got a bunch of Jewish writers. Gary may have been a part of that whole Jewish movement, exodus to the Sanford and Son show.
Sanford and Son was only two seasons?
No, it was three seasons.
Three seasons?
Come on, check
it
out. It
says 75, 76.
No way.
That's what it says. Let me see what it says.
It was a lot of episodes then. They did a lot of episodes in two seasons.
Well, there's one season where Fred isn't there because he was in...
Oh, 72 to 77.
Yeah, there's a season where...
Gary Shandling was a writer from 75 to 76.
Towards the end. When the Grady... Those were the Grady seasons, weren't they?
Yeah, Grady was there because Red Fox couldn't negotiate a contract with Norman Lear or CBS or whatever. So they wrote him out of the show, said he was in St. Louis, and that's where he was from. And then Grady was there and did the role. But it wasn't the same.
No, God,
and
then Grady was sparing. You're just supposed to, purse him in there.
Well, he came back, and then once the show got canceled, they had a spinoff right after it called Sanford Arms, and it was Grady.
Oh, my God.
Really?
And on Esther.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they rented out rooms at the Sanford and Son house. So that show didn't last. Fast forward to the early 80s, and then there's a show called Sanford, and Lamont's off working in Alaska. They always send people off to Alaska. And so Fred needs to take a guy in, and it's this, big, fat, white guy with a beard who ends up being in, he's a guy who's in all the biker shows. He was on Unjustified, too.
Really?
Yeah. He was the weed dealer.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, so I watched that too, but not all of them sucked. I'm just saying that there was all these Sanford spinoffs.
I was a What's Happening guy.
What's Happening. And so that's what, anyway, those must have been the Grady years when Gary Shandling wrote. What other shows did he write for?
He wrote one episode of Welcome Back, Kotter, it says.
Yeah?
Yeah. 1976 also, so.
I didn't realize how much Judd Apatow wrote for the Larry Sanders show.
See, now that's the thing. Without Larry Sanders and without Gary Shandling, you got Judd Apatow coming out of there. Who else comes out of that school?
That was his mentor. I mean, he considered him his mentor.
And then right after that, he did what? Freaks and Geeks.
Mm.
So good. And that clip that you posted of Martin Starr. I totally forgot about that. That was great.
Me too. I know. I watched that. I pretty much watched everything that everybody posted about Gary Shandling. Mm-hmm. usually I don't do that when somebody dies. But I pretty much watched all of them, So
all right. Great. Well, rest in peace, Gary Shandling. Yeah. If you've never seen the Larry Sanders Show, do yourself a favor. If you've never seen It's Gary Shandling Show, which I really haven't, I'm going to do myself a favor.
Is that on Netflix?
I
bet Larry Sanders is all on the HBO Go app.
They're bringing it back, I heard.
They're bringing it back.
Oh, really?
They're bringing it back to put on the regular network.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good.
So, anyway, check it out on the app. Otherwise, who else died? Who died?
Who died? We're starting with who died.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's rough.
Joe Garagiola Sr. died.
Yeah, Joe Garagiola.
Didn't get a lot of fanfare.
If you watched baseball on NBC on Saturday afternoons in the 70s and early 80s, you heard Joe Garagiola, you heard Tony Kubek, and you heard Vin Scully. They did the games together every week. I grew up watching that. Every Saturday, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch baseball. And then Monday nights, you had baseball with, the same Monday night crew as Monday Night Football.
Oh, really?
Howard Cosell.
And then, of course, Jim Palmer joined, and they wore the same goofy-ass 70s jackets. The one time I went to a primetime game in Baltimore with my dad, it was a Monday night game, so I got to see Howard Cosell. I was yelling at him, Howard. I wanted him to sign my baseball.
Those are those gold jackets, right?
Yeah.
Those were the best.
Yeah, they were.
Did he turn around? Did he see you?
No. Because everyone was yelling, Howard. But I was standing on the dugout.
Maya.
Speaking of Howard, Ken Howard, the way Chatto passed away this week, 71.
He was great on
The Office, Ed Trucks. He was good on there, too.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of the real last thing he did, which was 30 Rockefeller.
He was the cable town executive
guy.
He
was great. I love that guy.
He was very tall.
Did you watch The White Chatto?
I did watch it when I was little. Yes, I did.
That theme song.
I don't remember the theme song, though.
Oh, it was funky because it had black people in the show. So it was
the
70s
show. The only white guy or whatever.
Yeah.
What was the deal with the White Chatto?
Yeah.
He was the coach of the all-black basketball team. Speaking of black guys, Fife Dog died.
How dare you,
Stephanie,
Jeff.
Is devastated
how
by
dare
this.
You?
Why are you devastated by this?
Because
who is Fife Dog?
He was a youngin', too. He was born in 1970, so.
Ooh.
He was only 45. Oh, because Tribe Called Quest was one of my most favorite groups of all time, without
a
doubt.
What hit would they have that people would
know? That's probably the last hip-hop I'd listen to.
Award Tour, Electric Relaxation, Can I Kick It?
Did they do Sail Adrift on Memory Bliss?
No, that's PM Dawn. That's not a real rap group.
Okay.
No. They did like a lot of the more thought-provoking rap. Like they came in right before gangster rap really took hold in 94 and so on. But yeah, Low End Theory is one of the greatest. I mean, most people would hold it in high regard as one of the greatest rap albums. Midnight Marauder is one of the greatest rap albums, without a doubt. But yes, check out Tribe Called Quest. Fife Dog was amazing. He's the 5-foot assassin, the funky diabetic.
Speaking of Fife Dog, and big shout out to Atlanta's own Mark Arum, who is on WSB-TV, WSB-AM. He does traffic in the morning on TV and radio, and he does it in the afternoon. And then I don't know, but he does a late night show on WSB, which is actually pretty good. And they do a lot of pop culture talk, so coming after you, Arum. But anyway, I love the guy. He went viral the day after he died with putting a bunch of lyrics into his traffic reports.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it was great. Yeah. He messed up one time. He did a Q-tip lyric, which is the other half of Tribe Called Quest.
Well, come on.
But that's all he could fault him for. And he did it like in 2 seconds because he came in to work, found out, which, over the years, I guess he has peppered in lyrics here and there. Him and the other guy, Fred, that sits at the desk.
Yeah.
They'll do little stuff like that, but this is the first time like they told him, and then he went on air and he just was like, I'm going to do it, and just started, you know, ad-libbing from his, you know, Midnight Marauders was his favorite album.
Yeah.
So, and then Fred's giving him the playback, and then even Chopper guy's even saying shit to him. He says, is it ludicrously speedy or infectious with the slow-mo? And he's like, infectious with the slow-mo, Mark. I mean, he's just, it was so great. He is a traffic pimp.
Wow.
Yeah, and Aram's great. Good show. If you're up late at night, listen to it 10 o'clock to midnight, I believe, on WSB 750 AM. 95.5 FM.
And we're going to get him in here eventually.
I hope so, yeah. Who else?
Yeah, sorry, get him in here. Earl Hammer Jr., the creator of The Waltons and Falcon Crest.
That's very obscure.
That was my name when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Kids would call me Malcolm Crest.
Good night, John Boy. I watched Falcon Crest because it was on after Dallas. And that's what my grandparents watched on Fridays after
I knew
the bowling
you
alley.
Crest. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, Lorenzo Lamas, baby.
Yeah,
and John, Ronald Reagan's first wife, Jane Wyatt.
Yeah. That's right. Wow.
Who else?
James Noble, the governor from Benton.
Oh,
remember him?
Yeah, right. I remember him.
I had to see the picture. I was like, oh yeah.
Wasn't he also on Soap?
Soap, yeah.
Yep. Benson
and
was a
then,
funny show.
Patty Duke
was.
Yeah, Patty Duke. Rest in peace, Patty Duke.
Yeah, that's
that was
bad.
Just yesterday.
Because they're cousins, identical.
So wait,
wait, why
are
we
to?
Sing that song? What?
Who were you talking to in the intro?
Oh, that was her son, Sean Astin.
Oh, that okay.
Rudy. Samwise,
that's right.
Samwise Gamgee.
That's right. I couldn't remember who her son was in that.
Inept administrative person on television shows such as 24 and The Strain.
I think he started out on Facts of Life, though.
The Strain. Yeah. Oh, God.
He did?
Wasn't he in the
Facts
Goonies?
Of Life.
This
would have been before the Goonies.
Goonies was 85, 86.
But he was in the Goonies, right?
Yeah, but
down
Facts
here,
of Life
it's our time.
Your,
70s.
Was he like the little whelp that lived? He started acting before that.
I don't know. Maybe he did, but that's where I first took notice of him.
Yeah, that's right, because he was the...
When they had the Edna's Edibles, the store that they ran, he was like a hang-around...
Then that's like late in...
Yeah.
That would have been after Goonies, because that's late in the Facts of Life with
Facts
Phyllis.
Facts of Life was only...
All right, you're going to have to... I'm going to Google it. No, I can't Google it. Check.
You can't Google Check. Anything.
We have a Google guy.
But
Google guy.
Yeah, what else was it? He was in a television movie.
You're thinking of Mackenzie Astin.
Oh, am I?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Whose daughter is he?
That's his half-brother.
Yes.
Then.
Oh, that's
a
his brother.
Astin.
Yeah.
But he's related to Patty Duke, too.
No, he's John Astin's son.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think he's Patty Duke's kid. When, you know, can't verify that right now. I can't anyway.
Mackenzie was on the Peekskill years when they moved on to the,
Yeah, when they ran that stupid shop and then.
Right, yeah, you're right.
And then that's whenever Clooney emerged.
Yeah.
On that
Wasn't
one.
Clooney the one banging Joe?
Joe on Facts of Life?
Yeah.
Was he banging Joe?
I think they were banging.
I thought he was banging Cloris Leachman.
Well, Cloris Leachman, she filled in for Charlotte Ray when Charlotte Ray went on to do other things.
She went to Fred Sanford's house.
What did she do, Charlotte Ray?
Died, didn't she? Not too long after that? No, she
No, she died recently, though.
Oh, yeah, she did.
What's Joe's real name again?
Nancy McKeon.
Nancy McKeon.
And her brother
Philip
was...
Philip McKeon from Alice.
Yeah, Tommy on Alice.
Wow.
He banged Flo,
No, stop it, really?
Yeah. I bet he banged
her. Holly Holiday?
Did he kiss her grits?
He kissed her grits.
Yeah. Did you guys think Polly Holiday was hot when
you
were a kid?
No.
Did you think Vera was hot?
No.
Alice?
No, none of them. They're all too old. They're like moms.
I liked Alice.
Wasn't that Spacey one a little hot?
Stacy?
The Spacey waitress? What was it? Was
Vera? Oh, God. I didn't think so.
Of the three, though, if you had to bang one.
Dingy.
I'd go with Jolene, the last Flo, quote, Flo waitress.
Oh, Jolene, yeah.
Because there was, whatever her name was. I think it was Patty something or other, or Penny. Penny something or other. She played Flo. And then she went off and got her own show called Flo, and that failed.
Yeah,
And they replaced her with John. Oh Christ! I feel like such an idiot now. The woman played Flo in the movie because originally it was Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. It was a serious movie directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Ellen Burstyn and Kris Kristofferson.
I never got through that movie. Is it good? Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's been years since I watched it. I only watched it because it was associated with Alice. Mel is the same.
So I watched it.
I thought Vic
Scorsese.
Tayback was like, he was the man's man.
Oh, yeah.
Thought of a man.
Diggy!
Thought of Vic Tayback.
I think I started watching it and I just got bored and never got back to it.
What?
I think I started watching Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore and I got bored and I never got back to it.
I don't think I ever watched it. Mm-mm.
No?
No.
But the reason you sing the identical cousin thing is because it's a parody of the Patty Duke show theme,
mm-hmm.
where she played like Freaky Friday, like she played two characters that right. were cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But you always go to the Joel Hodgman version.
Yeah, they're cousins, identical cousins.
Connected by a spine.
Connected by that spine.
I had no idea what you guys were talking about.
I know you don't.
Well, yeah. But then I watched the clip.
Yeah,
I'd
never seen that stand-up. But.
Here's a question I have. Do we have a place where we can start posting links to stuff? Because we go down these rabbit holes. And I love it. And this is how people do.
On our Facebook page.
Why can't we put them on our Facebook?
So we're going to keep reposting. Now, do people want to get like their feed updated every 2 seconds with posts? Because like I want to talk about, okay, this is the video we were talking about and this and this and this.
We'll put it
but
in
you can't
the,
post multiple links.
We could put it in the description of the we podcast.
Could, we could have a Tumblr page.
A Tumblr page?
We could make a Tumblr page and put all that stuff up there.
Or a Flickr page or a...
Well, no. I really want to do a companion thing. And what if I did a Google Plus page?
Let's ask the radios.
You want people
what
to look
you,
at it, right?
Okay.
What would the radios prefer?
Yeah. We want to
call
make
us on the
I don't know. I don't know the number off the top of my head. Don't tease it right now, goddammit. All right. Patty Duke died, and that is very sad. And, the reason I was talking to her son is because he was on The Strain, the first season of The Strain.
Yeah. So which you said you liked.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did.
He's the reason, the whole reason that The Strain got out.
Exactly.
Dumbass.
He played the inept administrative guy, just like he did in 24 when the sarin gas got leaked and killed Edgar. Anyway, so connecting all these shows. So I interviewed him for that and geeking out with Tim on the Regular Guy show.
It's a good segment.
And we had a great interview, and I talked to him about, watching Please Don't Hit Me, Mom, which was an after-school special.
Oh, my God.
Where he played, Patty Duke, was the mom, and he was the son, and she was abusive and stuff.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
And that's why he was laughing. And
please don't hit me anymore?
No, please don't hit me, Mom. Not please don't.
Didn't you tape it over one of your mom's soap operas by accident,
and then you got hit,
and then she beat you up?
Yeah, that's what happened. She took the tape out and out of the VCR and hit me over the head with it.
Please don't hit me,
and
Mom.
And then ripped the tape out and tied me up and kicked me in the nuts repeatedly for hours with her bare foot.
Why I do such great impressions today?
That's right. Do it right, motherfucker. All right, on that note, we're going to take a short break, go have a cigarette and whatnot, and then we're going to come back, and you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Batman versus Superman.
All right.
We've also got some staff picks for you coming up, and what else are we going to talk about? Batman and shit.
And Superman and shit.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes and like us and give us ratings. We'll read them at the end of the show. Also, follow us on Twitter @radio_labyrinth and on Facebook, Radio Labyrinth.
Is brought to you by Nabisco.
Nabisco.
And we're back.
Welcome back, Radio Labyrinth, episode 016. I'm Tim Andrews. That's Ira Malkin. That's Jeff Leboff. That's Stephanie Swain.
You had to look in the book for that?
Yeah. I have everybody's name written down here because I have early onset Alzheimer's.
Makes it easier.
What planet are you from? We talk about that yet?
We did talk about it a little,
Okay, we talked about that yet. So,
it's a funny movie. Go see it. Gary Shandling.
That, by the way, was what you just heard was the theme to the Patty Duke show. Huh. We were talking about Patty Duke. She died.
She died.
She
died. The Joel Hodgson song is hysterical, though, from his old stand-up when he would do
He pulled out a ventriloquist dummy with two heads.
Right.
Creepy.
And the song was, and he sings the actual song, and then he goes, "They're cousins, identical cousins, and they're connected by that spine." Something like that.
Yeah. He had such a slow delivery. It was like a stoner character that he was doing. And you by day, they're just regular ventriloquist dummies. But at night, they become... And he pushes a button and a rifle comes out.
Oh, yeah.
The side of it, he goes, I become Agent J.
Straight out of my nightmares. Two-headed totally. Ventriloquist dummy.
All right, so the biggest movie over the past weekend was, of course, Batman versus Superman, which is Disney's launching pad for the Justice League, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, they had some Justice League stuff in there. They showed, like, little Aquaman footage, a little Wonder Woman Aquaman. Footage, a little Flash footage.
All right, who at this table has not seen Batman versus Superman? Tim has not.
Stephanie has not.
Ira has not.
No, Jeff, I'm the only one that's out.
All right, did you go in the theater and see it?
I did. I just went to the regular. No, we went 3D. 3D.
Who'd nice. You go? Okay, so you went 3D.
Right.
Get on the mic.
I'm on the mic.
Okay, so you went to the 3D version. And tell
you don't
us,
sound enthralled off the, right off
I
the
mean,
bat.
I mean, it wasn't.
All right,
as
so
good as
tell
I
us what'd
be.
You think of Batman versus Superman.
It wasn't as good as I hoped it would be. There was a lot of stuff I thought they could have cut out, like an hour's worth of stuff.
There's a lot of talking. I hate when there's a lot of talking.
First of all, here's
films.
I noticed that Negan plays Bruce Wayne's father.
Right.
Okay.
For about 5 seconds.
They don't need any of that in the movie anymore. Everybody knows.
Well, they had to set it up because.
Well, they don't need it.
Both Batman and Superman have moms that are named Martha. Martha Kent and Martha Wayne.
Okay.
And they have to set up the Batman at the beginning of the movie because later on, during the fight, the Batman versus Superman fight,
yeah,
Batman is like...
So, oh, by the way, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Batman gets kryptonite.
Yeah.
Right? So,
how does Batman get kryptonite?
Well, it's pretty easy to get kryptonite in this world, I guess. But, you know, he's a billionaire
bought
or whatever.
Bought
it
at Publix.
Right.
Yeah.
I have it at Walmart.
Right, he called his kryptonite guy, and the guy came over and dropped some kryptonite off.
Well, let's back up. Okay, so at the beginning of the movie, what's the premise of the film?
Well, the premise
Batman
of the film.
Versus
yeah, I mean,
Superman.
Batman versus Superman.
That's the premise. I'm sorry. What's
Gotham
the plot?
And Gotham City and Metropolis are like twin cities almost.
Okay.
They're across the bay from each other.
So it's Oakland and San Francisco.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a lot of questioning of Superman, like, because it's set immediately after.
Kills Zod.
Yeah, he killed Zod.
Okay.
So Zod's body is still there in this movie, and that's part of Lex's plot. He takes Zod's body and combines it with his blood.
Yeah.
And
did Michael Shannon do a cameo?
It looked like Michael Shannon, but it was just a corpse, so I don't know if they would have paid Michael Shannon money.
They have to. It's a law. They
well,
have
I mean, right. I'm sure they probably paid him some money to use his likeness, but I don't think that was really him laying there.
Ever since Back to the Future.
That's
right.
It could have been, though, because it looked
like
him.
Back to the Future
2. Right. So Lex Luthor, played by Mark Zuckerberg there, Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Mr. Luthor?
I can't stand that weirdo.
How did he do as Luthor?
He was annoying.
What are you saying, Mr. Luthor?
He almost reminded me like he was like in he was like Pesci in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like Lex Luger. Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor being
a
millennial.
No, well, even
Gene Hackman wasn't a good Lex
Luthor.
Oh,
you kidding me?
He was
that
a good comedic
Lex Luthor. I was trying like off play like Superman is like an Uberman, the Ubermensch or whatever.
Right.
He's like the ultimate man, and so they want to make his enemy be like a nebbishy, like brainiac.
Yeah.
But
Luthor's
nerdy guy,
but
in the
diabolical.
Yeah,
right?
But Luthor's like a big dude, and like probably if Superman didn't exist, Luthor would be like the ultimate badass on the planet, probably.
Really?
Yeah, at least in the comic books, like the Justice League version of Lex Luthor that runs the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, and the old cartoons.
Yeah, but like that's the real Lex Luthor. Like
he's buff and
Yeah.
Looks like Mr. Clean.
Right.
Yeah.
And they lived underwater in a swamp.
Right.
Meanwhile.
So anyway, to Jesse Eisenberg, blah, blah, blah. There's all this unrest about Superman because. Because
he's so strong.
He basically destroyed the entire city.
Yeah.
Killing Zod and his minions or whatever in the last movie.
Did he kill anybody else? Innocent people?
Which I loved that Superman. I thought it was great.
So did I. I liked it. It was Man of Steel, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people hate it. I liked it.
I loved it.
It was all right.
It was better than the one before it with Kevin Spacey as Lex Luger. Yeah. Luther.
You're so
stuck on Luger.
It was a good time in wrestling.
Yes, it was.
There's like a lot of unrest and stuff, and they have a trial where they say, is, you know, should Superman be allowed to do all this stuff?
Right.
And Lex Luthor blows up the entire trial. Like, he plants this guy in there in a wheelchair that explodes.
Yeah.
And blows up, like, the Senate building or whatever, and kills everybody except Superman.
Do you have a little bell, like in Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
So, that's when Batman decides to fight him.
Okay.
After that, because it looks like he did it, or, like, how did he not know about it?
Right.
He's got X-ray vision. Why did he not see the bomb?
Or hear it.
Right. So Batman and Superman fight, and Lex Luthor egs Batman on to fight him.
So when Bruce Wayne decides I'm gonna fight Batman, he consults with Jeremy Irons.
Well, yeah, Jeremy Irons is Alfred,
which is terrible casting.
Yeah,
because Alfred's supposed to be old and feeble, and Jeremy Irons is not old and feeble.
Right, even Michael Caine was what better Alfred.
Whatever Sonny wants, Sonny gets. Love that movie.
Reversal of Fortune.
Not another.
Tupac's advantage in a vial of insulin. Just kidding. Anyway.
Nope.
So, yeah. Lex Luthor.
Klaus von Bülow.
Kidnaps Superman's mom.
Yeah.
And.
Well, wait a minute. Before, when he goes to fight him, does he have the armor on yet?
Yeah.
All right. So he had that armor.
Right. And he's got kryptonite gas or whatever built into the.
Yeah.
Like.
To shoot him in the face.
Yeah, to shoot Superman in the face. And
okay. Before you go any further, Batman with the armor comes from the Frank Miller comic book from the early to the mid-80s called The Dark Knight Returns.
Well,
that whole fight comes from that.
Right. The whole character of Batman in this movie is supposed to be based on The Dark Knight.
So he's retired?
Oh, he's an older
guy,
and you know, Affleck plays him as like an older guy.
Guy in his 50s or whatever.
Yeah. And
really?
But he uses guns and stuff in it, and it looks like he kills people. They don't show him killing people.
Yeah.
But he shoots people and uses guns. And I'm like, there's no way if it's based on Frank Miller, because there's a big scene in the Dark Knight where he's like, this is the weapon of our enemy. We don't
use this weapon. Right.
And he breaks a rifle in half.
Yep.
That's like a big scene.
That's when he's teaching the
new Robin.
Well, the new Robin, but then he gets all the mutants to join his cause.
Right.
Hey, that's not keeping it canon.
No. Right. Well, Frank Miller isn't canon.
Well, it's not?
No.
But it's supposed to be based on The Dark Knight in this movie. He said. So it was weird to use guns. I just thought that was weird.
What did you think of Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman was awesome.
Well, so wait a minute. Jeff was saying Jeff was saying that Superman goes to save his mom.
Well, Lex Luthor kidnaps his. He eggs Batman on.
Yeah.
Like saying all this, like making it look like Superman's taunting him for all this time. And then he kidnaps Superman's mom and he's going to kill her unless Superman brings him Batman's head or Batman kills Superman, one or the other. And he sets a timer for like 40 minutes. And it's like real time, like 40 minutes.
That's the whole, that's 40 minutes of the movie.
They have a 40-minute fight?
They don't fight each other for 40 minutes, but it seems like it.
Okay. That sounds great.
It's a lot of psh, psh.
And then, so Superman's down, and he's been hit with the kryptonite, and he's bleeding, and Batman's standing over him. And
this is going to be super spoiler,
And Superman goes, you have to save Martha. And he's talking about his mother, Martha Kent.
Uh-huh.
But that reminds Batman or, you know, Bruce Wayne of Martha
Of his mother.
Wayne, right. So that's when they realize that he's like, what are you talking about? And at that point, Superman's able to recover a little bit. And
like wrestling.
Yeah. And explain it. So that's when they go after Luthor.
Or Luger.
And Luthor unleashes Doomsday on him.
So, okay.
And it's a terrible CGI character.
So he unleashes Doomsday. How did he have Doomsday?
Well, that's why he took Michael Shannon's body and
created Doomsday.
And went into the Fortress of Solitude and used his blood and Michael Shannon's body to create Doomsday.
Now, didn't Doomsday come from outer space?
Yeah, I think in the comic books it came from outer space.
So, okay, so Superman dies at the end.
Yeah, Superman dies at the end.
Oh,
Well, if Doomsday is in it, and you know the comic books, then you have to know the ending. You have to put two and two together.
Right.
And they teased all along that Doomsday was in the movie, so the ending can't come as a surprise.
Who played Doomsday?
That's a CGI.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Well, I don't think I'm going to be seeing it. I will watch it when it's on, like, HBO or
whatever. Let me say this. Gail Godot as Wonder Woman was awesome.
Why?
Really good. Just the way they kind of peppered her in.
Like. Oh, I heard that there was a scene where they just sort of had a commercial for upcoming DC characters.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing where they showed The Flash and Aquaman.
Why?
Well, Bruce Wayne gets a hold of... He plants a cloning device on one of Lex Luthor's computers and finds all this stuff on these... Like, he's been keeping tabs on Superman, on Batman.
Oh, okay.
On Wonder Woman.
Right.
On Aquaman, on Flash.
Did Batman know who they were?
I don't think he knew who they all were at the time, but then he realizes who Wonder Woman is from watching this stuff that Lex Luthor had.
Okay.
And then she joins in the fight once they start fighting Lex Luthor.
That's in the trailer.
And Doomsday.
So she doesn't have, and by the way, she's in the comic book fighting Doomsday as well in the original, but she doesn't have the red, white, and blue on, right?
No, she's got the new uniform. Leather clad. Sword and stuff,
Yeah, so she's not patriotic Wonder Woman in here.
Does she have an invisible jet?
I didn't see invisible jet, but she did have a lasso.
Yeah. Did she have the wristbands that deflect bullets?
Yes, and she had a shield that deflected bullets, too.
Okay. Has there been any backlash from the Patriots about the outfit?
Yeah, there was originally.
Really?
Oh, I saw something on Drudge.
That was in the comic book, though. When they changed her in the comic book, a lot of people were upset.
Yeah.
Well, I can say, as a girl who had Wonder Woman underoos, I definitely would not want some dingy-ass underoos. I would want the red, white, and
Tim,
blue.
Tim, you had
the
Wonder Woman underoos, too.
I did. They fit really nice. I like the way the star looked when I got a boner.
I was like the North Star.
Yes. No, not back then. It looked like, to quote George Carlin, an acorn on a stack of dimes.
But your bulletproof bracelets got in the
way. So Wonder Woman was cool. Affleck was cool as both Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Is the Flash the same Flash from the TV?
No, they should have done that, but it's Ezra Miller.
Uh-huh.
Kid Ezra Miller, been in stuff.
Okay.
Actor. Hmm. They only showed him for a second, but it should have been the kid from the show, if you ask me.
Who's Green Lantern?
They didn't show any Green Lantern.
Oh, who's the other one then? Cyborg?
Cyborg.
Okay.
I forget who that was.
I don't think you'll see Green
Lantern. But they show Aquaman, the dude from Game of Thrones. Great.
Oh, you mean it's not the guy from...
Jason Momoa.
It's not the guy from Entourage?
No, it should be him.
God damn it. Keep it canon, Hollywood, you fucks.
Really?
Oh, geez. So, all right. So,
I don't know. Maybe 5 out of 10. It was okay, but it could have been. And they said they're releasing an R-rated version of it on DVD or whatever, but it was already.
What would that
show? I don't know. It was already an hour longer than it needed to be.
That's too bad.
So adding X-rated or adding R-rated stuff to
an hour
it,
longer than it needed to be? Jeez.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
There was a lot of crap they could have cut out.
I'll wait for HBO.
Sounds like it should have just been a Gotham episode.
Yeah.
Well, all right. All this talk about Batman, I knew that we're
gonna... spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, did we put a spoiler message in before
like
we started talking about
it? I started saying it when Jeff started talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And when we list it, that'll have to be in the, just right. In fact, but I want you to title the show Spoiler Alert.
at the very end, it's like maybe Superman's coming back. I won't tell you how that happens, but
all right.
And I didn't stick around to see
he's
if there was an after credit scene.
You didn't stick around?
No. I had to pee.
Oh.
Well, 2.5 hour movie. I drank a large.
You should have peed into the cup.
Yeah.
Oi.
A large mellow yellow. I had to piss really bad by the time 2.5.
Could have refilled yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that we were going to talk about Batman and versus Superman, but more about Batman is, you know, I got to thinking, what would be your order of, okay, starting with Adam West, that era, to now.
See, I'm out for that era.
You've never seen Adam West
I've
as Batman?
I've seen it, but I never...
Well, then you can rank him anywhere.
I wasn't familiar with all
the... You don't have
to
be out. You can rank him anywhere. Rank him last because you don't know who he is. But ranking the actors who played Batman, who was your favorite from least to worst, or from worst to first?
Clooney's the worst.
Well, yeah, but I wanted everybody to say what they thought, so...
Oh, that's my opinion. Clooney's the worst.
I'm going to tell you mine. All okay, right. Worst to first. George Clooney.
Yeah.
Then Ben Affleck.
Nah, you haven't seen the movie.
I know, but that's why I'm putting him there.
Oh.
4, Val Kilmer. 3, Adam West. 2, Christian Bale. And 1, Michael Keaton. So Michael Keaton is my favorite of all the modern Batman.
That's basically my same order, but you haven't seen Affleck, so you don't know where to put him properly. He's really good as Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Yeah.
My order's Clooney, Kilmer, Adam West, Affleck, and then I got Keaton and Bale in a tie.
In a tie? Again, why?
Tie for first, because Keaton was awesome and Bale was awesome.
All right. Steph?
Mine is the exact as Tim, except Bale is my favorite for sure.
Yeah, all right, so why is Bale your favorite over Keaton?
Because I think that I've seen The Dark Knight probably 120 times at this point. It never gets old to me whenever it's on. And I can't say that about the old Batman movies. I do love them, and I think Keaton was amazing. He was more comical, I guess.
Right.
And to me, Bale seems more like Batman.
Serious.
Yes, exactly. I loved his acting. I loved his portrayal of it, and I loved what he brought to the role was something that nobody else had done,
right?
And probably nobody else will do.
No one will, yeah.
Yeah.
Those movies are going to stand alone.
Absolutely. I mean, Dark Knight, I think it's one of the greatest action superhero movies of all time.
It was awesome. Yeah.
How about you, Ira?
I was going to put Adam West at the top just for the for the goofy factor of it and the nostalgia factor of it.
Bat spray.
But can I do that, or were we supposed to be serious?
No, do whatever you want.
All right, well, that's what I did, just because you think Batman, that's the first guy I think of.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, though. I like Christian Bale better than Michael Keaton. Just I think what bothered me about Michael Keaton was I always liked him as a comedic actor, and it was a little disconcerting to me to see him.
That's what
this is the whole thing with Affleck, too. Yeah. Everybody's like, God, I was gonna let Affleck play Batman, but it was the same way with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
I remember people being like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton. And that's why I got him in a tie with Bale, because he surprised the hell out of everybody.
Right. He's great.
Fucking brilliant as Batman.
Yep.
But Bale just seemed to come out of nowhere. I mean, he had been in a zillion other things, of course. Yeah.
But he's such a good actor.
He is, and it seemed right to me.
And he's a method actor, so he puts everything into it.
That was my whole thing about him was, I was such a huge fan of American Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how is the dude from American Psycho? Right. That was like one of my favorite movies. So, and then he just like shed that and became this guy.
Plus Liam Neeson's in it.
So good.
What does it say? Nonner.
Bananas.
All right. So moving on from the
I don't think I saw ever Batman saw the actors. Clooney Batman.
Never.
No, that's okay.
Don't bother.
Right. Batman and Robin.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
And I think that may have been why.
I watched it on acid, and it still wasn't good.
Yeah. No, I saw it in the theater.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I saw the Val Kilmer one in the theater by myself.
I never saw that one either.
One is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's good.
I got Batman and Robin listed as the worst.
Because that one's got my
ranking. All right, let me give you my rankings. We're going to do the films now. Now, this does not include the Adam West, Burt Ward film. So this is from 89 to now.
Films.
Or what about the Lego movie? You include the
no.
Oh, come on.
Chris Pratt, he was a good.
Yeah.
No, these are actual actors playing them in live action films. So the worst one I have is Batman and Robin from 97 with George Clooney.
I'm agreed on that one.
The Dark Knight Rises is number 6.
That's the last one.
Which is the last one of the Christian Bale. Batman Forever, 95 with Val Kilmer. Then number 4 is Batman Begins, and that's the one from 2005.
What? That's a great one.
With Christian Bale. But then you got number 3, Batman Returns in 92 with Michael Keaton. Yeah. You also have Christopher Walken, and you also have Danny DeVito.
Right.
Now, The Dark Knight is my number 2. From 2008, and I got to go with Batman from 1989 with Michael Keaton again and Jack Nicholson as my favorite one. And Jack Palance, I mean, I just love that movie.
Schwarzenegger was in the Clooney one, right?
That's just terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Jim Carrey.
Right. Right.
My ranking, I got the worst as being Batman and Robin.
Okay.
Batman Forever being the next worst.
Uh-huh.
Batman versus Superman, because I'm the only one that's odd. I can put it in there.
Yeah.
All right. He's allowed.
And then I got The Dark Knight Rises, Batman Returns, Batman, the Michael Keaton one, the 1989 one.
Right.
Then I got a tie between The Dark Knight and Batman Begins.
So you really like Batman Begins a lot, huh?
Yeah, Batman Begins is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a good movie.
I think it's just as good as The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
But when it came out, it was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is really, this is good shit.
It's the third one with Bane to me is just so bad.
It grew on me. I mean, I, the first
should
time
I watch it again?
You should
listen
watch
right
it.
Before Batman versus Superman, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it.
It was a.
I liked Tom Hardy as Bane. It grew on me after I watched it.
You're
Nine
a
times.
Big boy.
For you.
You were doing your Bane imitation on the other show.
On the regular guys?
And you were. I remember it was killing me that morning.
Oh. I don't know if I can do it.
I'm Bane. You just kept going, I'm Bane.
That's because my name is Bane. I have to be careful I don't do the South Park Bane. Mr. UPS guy. That's what he fucks you on. I'm Bane.
Yeah, see.
You just kept going, I'm Bane.
That was a long time ago.
I know, but I remember that now. You reminded me.
How about you?
Do Bane as the dad from Different Strokes.
As the dad from Different
Conrad
Strokes?
Conrad Bane. Oh, Arnold. Oh, Arnold. You and Willis need to come downstairs. You have soccer practice. Mrs. Gadd will take you. Oh, stay away from the bike star with Dudley. Oh, my word, it's Jenny Jackson. Oh, you look so much better than when your mom was beating you with the iron on Good Times. Oh, I'm Marge's neighbor, Conrad Bane.
That's really old.
Oh, that's good shit.
Maude, Conrad Bane is our neighbor. Did you know sometimes he has his twin brother play him because he's a twin?
I
just found out he had a twin brother when he died.
You didn't know that?
And Boner Bane is still alive.
Yeah, he would fill in for him.
Yeah.
His name was Boner Bane.
Boner Bane.
Yeah.
Maude.
That sounds like a 1930s boxer.
Your daughter, Adrian Barbeau's really hot. When you're not here, I beat off about it. I take her bras into the bathroom.
She was hairy.
Yeah, you know Maude was the first person on television to have an abortion.
I did know that.
Anyway, how
very
to get the
controversial.
Maude, Jesus Arthur. Christ, we're talking about Batman. And Stephanie, you need to give yours.
Oh my God, I need a list of them. But yeah, I would say that worst is definitely the one with Clooney.
Do worst and first.
Okay, worst is the one with Clooney. My favorite is Dark Knight.
All right.
Well, like I said, I didn't see the Clooney one, but everybody. I'll just go with worst because everybody's telling
it's
me
terrible.
The fucking outfit had nipples on it, dude.
But yeah, Dark Knight definitely blew my ass out of the water.
Yeah.
You know, killer action scenes.
Jeez. All right, so Jeff, we don't really have a review scale. We need to have a review scale.
A scale?
Yeah, let's come up with one right now.
Would it be like five cannons?
Mazes, since we're Radio Labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
No, all that's right. Stupid. Why don't we just do stars?
No, stars.
Let's do bars, like volume bars.
Bars? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like on the radio.
Yeah, all right. I like that.
Ten bars.
Yeah.
Would be the top.
Ten.
Five, we could also do like bars. Memorial, like we could do Shandlings.
Well, I don't want to do that in like in a month.
No, I just
so
meant,
let's stick with bars. Yeah, I like bars.
Five out of ten.
Five out of ten bars.
Yeah.
All right. 5 out of 10 bars. Shandlings just for today, but it's going to be bars. 5 out of 10 bars. 5 out of 10 bars agree. Don't serve blind people. I don't know what that means. We have another segment that we like to do, and it's called staff picks. Mm. I have a staff pick, but I'm going to wait until everyone else does theirs.
Oh, yeah?
That's the way I like to do it tonight. So I'm going to start with Ira, who has...
You're delegating me, huh?
I'm delegating, and yours says Primer.
Have you guys ever seen a movie called Primer?
I have not.
From 2004?
No.
I don't think so.
What's it about?
It was on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's still on there now, but it's definitely on YouTube, because when we were doing these picks and I was writing them down last night, I started watching it on YouTube, and I was like, oh, let me just watch the beginning to refresh myself. I ended up watching probably over an hour into it, and I think it's only like an hour and 17 minutes. It was like 2 a.m. I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta go to bed. But it's a weird movie, man. It's real low budge. It was written by this mechanical engineer or like a software engineer. He's never done a movie before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I should spoil it. Because
who's in it?
Nobody you would know. Okay. It's just a total low-budget film.
What's that?
I don't know.
Goddamn websites and the auto-loading bullshit. Go ahead.
It was nominated for a bunch of awards. I think it won some at Sundance and stuff. But it was these guys kind of have this incubator in their garage where they're building different projects. You know,
like Silicon Valley, kind of.
So yeah, yeah, just like that, but not just software. Like they're actually building shit. You know, mechanical stuff. And two of the guys, I don't know. See, I don't know if I should give it away.
Well, don't,
because it's like the main.
We're just yeah. You're just
I'll say this.
You're just you know, picking the film.
They
you
have a discovery.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just very the movie. It's not very fantastical or dramatic. It's just very. Think of what a movie would be like if it was written by a mechanical engineer. It's just very numbers and very. You know, straight ahead, and it just seems so real. You know, like these guys are just doing calculations, and it's just so they have this pretty amazing discovery, and then pretty much what happens after that, it gets pretty crazy. I noted last night when I was watching it, right at about 29 minutes in, that's when it's like, oh, holy shit.
You know? Is the prime, or is that significant to like numbers being prime or prime numbers?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of shit in there that is over my head, and it's one of those movies where it's like, all right, this whole.
That's what they call a man and a male fluffer in a gay porn film is the primer.
Ooh.
You know, the female's the fluffer. No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. That would be good, though. Well, I'll give it five primers. Five fluffers. But anyway, yeah, check it out. It's on YouTube. Shit, there was one more thing I was going to say about it, and I forgot what it was. I don't know. Well, anyway, check it out.
All right. Okay. Stephanie?
Yeah. Okay. Two of my favorite film genres are horror and mockumentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw the most perfect horror mockumentary called What We Do in the Shadows.
I've heard of it.
Oh my God. It came on HBO like a couple, maybe a week and a half ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. I caught it, recorded it, because it has Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords and Eagle versus Shark and all that stuff. And basically, it's four vampires, actually, where they're shooting a documentary. They're getting ready for what they call the Monsters Ball, basically, the Ball of the Undead.
Uh-huh.
And so this camera crew has been allowed to come in, and they've agreed not to kill them so that they can shoot this documentary on them getting ready for this ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the vampires, one of them, he's like 8,000 years old. He's like a straight-up Nosferatu vampire. He's down in the basement. He can't really...
Right.
He's not on... But he's turned most of them, so...
Okay.
But Jemaine Clement, he is this, you know, the sexy, pervy vampire, and...
But this is like a goofy...
Mockumentary. Yeah,
it's just like a...
Is he deadpan, the whole, like, typical
Clement?
Jemaine? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because all these guys are... It's all New Zealanders.
Yeah.
What's his name? Wakiki Tahiti, or whatever his name is, plays one of the vampires. He's also the guy that directed Eagle versus Shark, which if you've ever seen Eagle versus Shark, that is like one of the best love stories of all time. Yeah. So funny, with Jemaine Clement again. But anyway...
Is Jeff Daniels in there?
No, it's all New Zealanders again. Oh, but
New Zealand.
Anyway, but if you love that kind of subtle, love any kind of, it's like Spinal Tap for vampires.
Okay,
that's
okay.
Exactly all what right. It's like.
So. And where can you see it?
HBO Go.
Oh, all right.
Absolutely.
Or on demand if you have it, right?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Absolutely.
Jeffrey.
I'm picking Banshee. It's a series.
It's on Amazon, right?
No, it's on Cinemax.
Is it Cinemax or is it?
Cinemax, yeah.
I'm telling you, there's on Amazon Prime, there's a series.
You can watch the first three seasons on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Banshee.
But now the fourth season's coming back. It's the final season.
So what's that show is about?
And
a
it's
guy?
Coming back,
is it still in Amish
April
country?
1st. Yeah, it's set in Pennsylvania in Amish country. And
where Amish people fuck all the time and their daughters are hot as shit.
Right. So there's like... cartoon violence in this show, and sex and nudity, and
it's an animated.
No.
But it's like the violence is so over the top. Like fight scenes, like
it's like Evil Dead.
Yeah, like just
doesn't the blood splash on the camera
blood,
like cartoony.
Yeah, there's blood splatter and just fights
like Spartacus.
Go on and like. If somebody in real life took like one of the punches that was in this fight scene, they'd be dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they just fight like for like 20 minutes, they'll fight and that's crazy stuff. And it's like, it's almost like a graphic novel. In real life.
Like 300 looks that way.
Yeah.
Or the 300 looks that way.
It's about this guy. He's a con artist and he gets out of jail and he's trying to find his ex-girlfriend who stole a bunch of these diamonds. And, He in the first episode he stumbles into this bar and this town called Banshee in Pennsylvania has hired this new sheriff, and the new sheriff comes into the bar also, and then these bad guys come into the bar and try and shake down the bar or whatever, and the sheriff ends up getting killed. So this guy, this con man guy, takes the place of the sheriff because the town has never met him.
Right.
So they think he's the new sheriff, and so he's playing four seasons of, like, being a cop, but being a really bad cop. Yeah.
I've dropped in and out of that show. I've seen like three episodes from season one, four episodes from season two.
Oh, really?
And every single time I like the show. I've just never been able to start at the beginning and go all the way through.
I've seen all of season one and two. I just haven't watched it since.
And it's Alan Ball, too, who did
6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under. And
Leftovers. No.
No, the first few seasons of the True Blood.
True Blood.
Yeah. What about American Beauty?
Yeah, I think he did that.
Too, yeah. He's from Georgia. He's from Atlanta.
Sam Mendes. Right.
Huh? Are you sure? Double
American
check
Beauty?
That. Jeff, check that.
Yeah, Sam Mendes did American Beauty.
Mm. Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I thought Alan Ball must have written it.
Anyway.
Find out.
Yeah. He did write American Beauty, yeah.
Ooh, see?
See, we were all right.
All right. No, I'm such an idiot. All right.
So, but yeah, he'll do like four seasons of a show, and then he'll leave, and then the show starts sucking after that, like True Blood.
Yeah.
So this is, they decided to just cancel it now that he wants to leave, so this fourth season should probably be really good and wrap everything up.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But go back and watch the first three seasons, too. You don't need to have watched the first three seasons to get into season four, though.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah.
It's on my watch list. On.
I'm sure there'll be like a little previously on Banshee thing that'll like catch you right up.
It is gorgeously and violent.
Yeah.
That Amish chick, oh my word.
I like the guy. What is he's like a miniature Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
Right.
He is. He's like Liev Schreiber light.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that's hiding an English accent, too, or Australian accent. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's on Cinemax. You can watch it on demand or probably on Amazon Prime.
Right. It starts the fourth season starts Friday, I think.
Okay. My show is called Disappeared. It is a show that you can watch on Investigation Discovery.
What the fuck is that?
You don't know what ID Network is? That's the home of murder porn.
Yeah, it's the murder porn channel.
You know, remember that South Park where their parents were watching murder porn and they blocked it on the TV? Anyway, so, you know, it's a show called Disappeared. It's a 60-minute show, and it's about people who disappear, and then they track the traces and try to, you know, find out what happened to them.
So it's real-life people.
Real-life people, yeah. And, you know, they have those awful dramatic actors playing, reenactors playing the parts. It's one of those types of shows.
Okay.
And the music, and it's cheesy as fuck, but once you start watching this show and you get sucked into it, that show, and then there's another one on there now that's this girl got killed. Okay, I look up the name of the show here in a second, but it's caught on video. This girl got taken by a guy. He beat her up and made her go to like five or six different ATMs all in the same city and take money out, and then he killed her.
Oh, jeez.
And they show the footage of her at each ATM, and they show, it's weird. And then it's all surveillance footage.
I don't know if I can watch that shit.
That's good to fall asleep to.
But I do like that crime shit. I've always been into true crime. I like the crime dramas, and I love this show Disappeared. And here's what it says on Wikipedia. It'll kind of explain it better. The series contains interviews and commentary by people involved in various missing persons cases, usually cops and other investigators in the family, in which individuals have gone missing. By the time some episodes air, some cases are resolved with positive outcomes, while others meet sadder resolutions. Most of the time, the people are fucking dead, and you find that out at the end. But there was one I watched last night where the girl was actually alive. So, you know, and then you see her at the end, and you find out what happened. So it's interesting.
It's like one
show.
Out of 100, though. They find the people.
Yeah. Jeez.
Have you always been interested in, like, you know, serial killers and stuff like
not
that?
In a creepy way, like I keep animals in a refrigerator box,
But is it like, I mean, because I always did too, and is it because, like, it's fascinating to see what goes wrong in your mind like that?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with these people?
And it's just, to me, it's not, I mean, I guess I'd be squeamish if I saw that kind of scene or whatever, but it's always fascinated me to the depths to which people can sink or how they can unravel.
Did you ever see Carla?
Yeah, dude, I saw that movie.
Laura Prepon?
Yes, that's the couple that...
Oh, yeah, Laura Prepon? I'm in.
No, it's not sexy at all.
She's played a serial killer. Not really a serial killer, but...
A sexy serial killer?
It's a true story about a couple that...
Paul Bernardo and Carla Homolka.
Yes.
They're Canadian, and they were like... you can't say all-American couple, but they were like the all-Canadian couple, yeah. And they they killed a bunch of people.
Including her little sister.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, she's not hot in it, though?
She is pretty hot.
Yeah, but you don't want to say that.
Always hot,
like so. I said, I'm in.
She, I don't like Laura Prepon because she talks like this. I'm on Orange is the New Black.
See, I don't watch her on that.
How I don't. I gave up on that show as well. Yeah. All right, so those are our staff picks for this week. You can check this out, ID, on your on-demand or wherever, you know, whatever streaming services carry it. All those shows are fun to watch if you're stoned or if you're bored or if you're going to sleep.
It's good to go. I find it comforting.
All right. We're going to come back and talk. No, pick up. We're going to come back and talk about The Walking Dead. Hang on.
Hey, radios. We've got a new radio line for you. 470-222-4023. That's 470-222-4023. Leave us a message. We may put it in the podcast. You can do anything you want. Request shit. Ask for a voice. Tell Ira that you love him. Ask Stephanie to send you nudes on Snapchat. Maybe just spend the day with Jeff. 470-222-4023. Radio line.
The season finale of AMC's The Walking Dead.
We can make a deal right here, right now.
Sorry, we don't negotiate.
I'm Negan.
Oh, yeah. That was Negan at the end, the very end. Do you think in the final episode of The Walking Dead, which is this coming Sunday, that we'll have to wait until the very end to see Negan? I have no idea. But let's, before we get to that, let's talk about the previous episode of The Walking Dead. What did you guys think?
I thought it was all right.
Just all right?
I'm kind of...
Oh, she's soured.
Carol, this whole, you know... whatever the hell she's going through. Okay. I mean, she's an excellent killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it that she's fighting it, you know, and that we have to go through this whole thing with her having these little panic attacks and all this other bullshit. Just kill people. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm tired of her being the little bird or whatever the fuck Alicia Witt was talking about in the other thing. That to me, and I feel like this.
Where's she going anyway? That's what I want to know.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I feel all these speeches and all this shit.
Is this comic book storyline?
No.
So it's not canon? Man,
no. I mean, it's canon because it's Robert Kirkman doing the show, too. But
yeah. But it's not part of the storyline. Okay. So Carol doesn't just turn into... She's having, what do they call that, a crisis of conscience?
Yes. Right. And it's like, we already have one, Morgan. We only need one.
No killing.
Okay. Yeah.
I let him go, Rick. I let him go. And then I let him go again. And then he turned into a zombie. And then I hit him with a stick.
Thank you, Tim. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Let him go, man.
I was sad to see Mary Weaver die, though, on The Walking Dead.
Who?
I like her.
The week before.
Yeah, really I do like that character. Yeah. She got it right in the fucking head.
But it was right during a speech, and I was glad for that.
So this episode was kind of slow moving.
Yeah, usually the second to last episode's like something big always
right.
happens.
Yeah, they didn't ramp it up.
And I guess what happened at the end is the big thing that.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Did Daryl get shot?
Looks like it.
Yeah, but he's fine.
Well, somebody that we all love is going to die in this next episode.
Well, maybe not. That's what. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, but they're saying that somebody may. So we may get. Well, Daryl may get killed.
Negan is going to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. We don't know. In the comic book, spoiler alert, in issue 100, Glenn gets killed by Negan.
Right.
Negan has Rick and Glenn and Maggie and, you know, all
well, Maggie's
our,
not there.
Well, in
she's
the comic
she's
losing
book. The baby okay. back yeah. at the yeah. compound.
Okay. After she cut her hair.
In the comic book, he has all of them captured, and he plays Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe and lands on Glenn.
Yeah.
Kills Glenn.
Okay.
Just to make an example of him and show, you know, he's not fucking around.
Right.
Do you think they probably won't do that just because everybody's expecting it?
No.
Kill somebody else?
No, well, that's the thing. They're saying maybe he's going to kill somebody else. And maybe he's going to kill Carol. Maybe he's going to kill Daryl.
Wouldn't Daryl make the most sense since he's not in the comic book?
Yeah. Well, who knows? And I heard he's making Boondock Saints 3, so.
See, he was funny in Vacation. Did you see him?
No, I haven't seen that movie.
That movie is not as bad as everybody said it was.
All right. I've heard.
It's actually pretty fucking funny. But
what people are saying is that in the comic books, Negan kills Glenn with a baseball bat that's wrapped in barbed wire. It's called Lucille.
They've shown that in the
promo. Yeah, they show it, and Carl got that gun out of the armory, and it had a baseball bat drawn on it with barbed wire wrapped around it. So it's obviously probably Negan's gun. But they're saying that what's going to happen is you're going to meet Negan in the episode, and Negan's going to eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and you're not going to see who it is that he picks.
No.
And he's going to swing the bat, and you're going to see like the POV of the bat coming down. You know, you'd be like you looking at the bat coming right at your face.
Yeah.
And then that's the end. And they're saying maybe you won't find out who's dead till next season.
That's nonsense. Who's dead? They better not do that.
They got to do that.
That's the way you keep interest. I mean, we haven't had a good cliffhanger in a long time.
We need at least one. You got to show me one person and then let me wait on another. But well, I got to get one good one.
You got to have a I want a cliffhanger. That's what I'm rooting for. Yeah. I know you guys don't want that, but I want a cliffhanger. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Well, because if they have to do it that way, think about it. If a lot of people know the comic book, most probably don't. But if you know the comic book, then you're expecting it to be Glenn. So why not just throw him a curveball?
Right. And that's why I was speculating that it would be Carol because of all the stuff they've been doing with her lately.
When does it come back? In the fall?
Yeah.
Usually around Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So that is this Sunday. It's 90 minutes. And oh, my word. Oh. Yeah, 90-minute special, Ira, just in time for you to join in
I'm going to come in this week.
Want to hear your thoughts about it. And then
wouldn't it be funny if I think I'm going to do this.
You should, and then you can ask his questions. Then we can do the whole show. Now, who's that?
So who's that guy?
Yeah, and what is he doing, fucking guy?
Now, what did he say when I said, what does that guy say?
Are you going to watch season 2 of Fear the Walking Dead?
No.
No.
Yeah, I was into the first
You're out, huh?
I hated it.
I like Kim Dickens.
It looks interesting to me because they're in water and then there's like zombies coming up out of the water.
Why?
You guys watch it. If they kill the kid, then I'll watch it.
Oh, that kid, the heroin addict?
They got to eat that kid immediately.
I hate his sister,
fucking
too.
Eat him. I hate him. Eat him. Eat his dad. Eat fucking both of them at the same time.
I tried to watch it because I like Kim Dickens a lot, but I couldn't get into it really.
There's too many pussified people.
It's like that awful Terminator or that awful Sarah Connor TV
Salvation
show.
The
TV show. Oh, that awful series with that pussy-ass kid playing John with Aaron. I'm emo John Connor. When my mom says stuff, I sometimes cry. And other times, I'm in love with my Terminator robot that's really hot that they sent from the future to take care of me. I'm vulnerable, John Connor. My mom is now in Game of Thrones. She's got a rocking body.
Is she?
Huh?
She's in Game of Thrones now?
Mm-hmm.
In the last one or the new one coming out?
Game of Thrones. She's been on it every season.
She has?
Yes. She's Cersei.
No.
Yes. She played Sarah Connor on the TV show.
Oh, on the TV show?
Okay. Yeah, not in the movie.
I thought you meant the movie.
I didn't realize that she played. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't give that show any chance at all.
Oh, we watched them all. I liked Garrett Dillahunt as one of the Terminators.
He's great.
Yeah. But you watch it for Garrett Dillahunt, not for.
Well, then it's understandable.
He's an interesting actor. I like that guy. All right. So, Walking Dead, season 6, season finale this Sunday. I won't be able to watch it till Monday, so I'm going to have to
Don't miss
spoilers.
Our episode next week.
Yeah, we complain about it because that's what people do. So
you got to watch
Ira's
going to
watch it.
You're going to watch
it. Ira's got to watch it.
Walking Dead episode. Well, it'll be about the 5th. Maybe.
All right.
You have to play that scene from Big Lebowski whenever.
What scene is that?
The one where where Walter talks about Donnie.
Yeah.
Just walking
what
in
about
like
Donnie?
In the middle of the movie, asking all these questions. I don't know it for sure.
Oh, you can't just walk into a conversation.
Right.
I am the walrus.
Fuck you.
I am the walrus.
Not John Lennon. Vladimir Ilyinov Lenin. The world does not stop and... What does he say?
Yeah. Stop and start or something, whatever you...
I don't remember.
Phone's ringing, dude.
No, man. No, Donnie. These men are nihilists. There's nothing to worry about. Isn't that what he says?
That's exhausting.
Yes. No, not him. He's a nihilist.
One of my favorite Walter lines in that is, "They're gonna kill that poor woman." They're gonna.
What part is that?
Oh, whenever the dude's like, "No, Walter, you don't." Whenever he threw the dirty undies out,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, "Yeah," and he's trying to explain to him the severity of what had just happened, and he's like, and Walter gets pissed off. "They're gonna kill that poor woman." Like, shut the.
They're gonna
up.
Kill that poor woman.
We gonna rate your reviews. You give us 1 to 5 stars. We gonna rate your reviews. And if you win, you're gonna get a gold star.
That's right, you're gonna get a gold star.
I wanted to do that, but see, here's the problem.
What?
When I go away from the window, audition closes. Because this isn't a Mac. And on a Mac, I know how to do it, and I don't feel like fucking looking
it up. That was the first time I've heard that song where I noticed there's a background vocal. Did Rob do that?
Yeah, Rob Jenners did that for us. Nice. The music you heard when we came back from the second break was John
Mark
Lundell. And thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much, John Mark Lundell. He did some bumpers for us, and I thought they were good. Yeah. And then the radio tribute, because it's not note for note a copy, so we can use it.
Super cool.
We have two new reviews, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
That we haven't read yet. So I'll read them for you. And as always, I ask that one of you guys pick a character.
Oh,
for
Bane. Bane.
Again?
I beg of you.
I thought of one that you
consensus.
Used to do.
Oh, damn.
Conrad Bane.
Arnold. I don't think I could do Bane.
I feel like we need a list of all the voices that you do.
No, because I can't. Every time this happens,
even if I don't do it well or know it, I have to try it. That'll be the rule.
Okay.
I could do Bane, but with my nose plugged.
Oh, what about Iggy Pop?
Yeah, I can't do Iggy Pop, man.
I told you, it's just like William Burroughs with a little bit of Mr. Magoo.
See?
Keith Richards.
No, I don't want to do that one.
No.
You guys are no fun. Jeff's not.
Barack Obama.
You guys are fun, but Jeff's not throwing anything in.
Yeah, do the president.
I said Conrad Bain.
The president.
The president. I take that back. I didn't mean to say you guys aren't any fun.
No, fuck you, Tim. It's too late. No backsies.
Okay. This one comes from a guy named Pak John. I don't know if he's from Pakistan. I don't want to judge him based on where he may or may not be from.
where his birth certificate is from.
Better than a Pontillo's pizza. I've never been to Pontillo's. Or is it Pontillo's? I guess if it were Italian, it wouldn't be Pontillo's. Also better than the regular guys. Well, I got to take that as a compliment because that was a great show. I love that y'all like each other and keep a positive and funny narrative. I assume Tim produces, since the format moves along with great content. I value the comments from Jeff, Ira, and Stephanie more each episode.
That's good.
Great work by all. If you were a public company, I'd buy stock because this show is going to get noticed. I was going to say it's better than Nick Tahoe's garbage plate, but I'm not sure you'd get a Rotten Chester reference. Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
We've both eaten them, Jeff and I.
Yeah.
And
been to Nick Tahoe's and Nick Tahoe's too before it closed down. I was there.
And I had one time, and on Air Force One, I pooped my pants. And I give that review by Pak John 5 stars.
I give it 5 stars as well.
5 stars.
I liked it.
5 stars.
By the way, I have been informed that...
did you ever give that guy his prize, too, that won the...
I never got him. I never got the prizes.
Uh-oh.
So here's the thing. I've just been informed that, that we are going to have, eventually... some gift certificates to give away, and I'll tweet about that later.
We owe one guy one already.
I know we do.
And I think he hit us up on Facebook, so we got to contact that guy.
Get his contact information.
Yeah.
We remember you. We haven't forgotten about you. We just don't have prizes.
Okay. now we have one more to read, and I need a voice.
Bernie,
Saul
Bernie
Rosenberg.
Sanders.
Huh?
Bernie Sanders.
If you're in it, okay. This is a great new podcast. This is from ATL Rock.
Does that sound like him?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Bad. You're getting it.
If you are of an age or mindset that considers Revenge of the Nerds, Weird Science, and Animal House to be true works of genius, then you will love this podcast. Been a fan of Tim's for years and loved the cast and guests so far. P.S. Oh, a bird just landed on me.
You shit on my desk.
P.S. Tim and I have never met, but I still like him. Love, Mac.
No, I'm not supposed to bring that stuff up anymore.
Okay.
What stuff?
I'll tell you when we go off.
Okay. When we go off?
Tim edited the review.
Edit the review. I'll tell you why when we're not on on the cast anymore.
You can say air.
We're not on air.
There's air in here.
All right, so listen, if you want to read me to read a review in a voice, you can even say in the review what voice you'd like it to be read in. How about that? Go to iTunes. Find our site. Find our whatever, you know, where it talks about Radio Labyrinth. Give us a review. Write a flowing review. Write a glowing review. And I'll read it.
You can give us 0 stars if you so desire. Just
yeah.
You know, write what's in your heart.
Write what's in your heart.
Edith and Archie at the same
time?
Yes,
I can. I'm going to do it right now. If you write a review with Edith and Archie, I'll do Edith and Archie together.
All right, that's a challenge.
That's what I said. Colored. It was nicer than when he called him.
Nah, I'm not going to say it. Right. Yeah, so do that. Please. Connect with us all the time, anytime. I have been lax on the Twitter, so I'm going to get back on that. @radio_labyrinth. On Facebook, Radio Labyrinth. And as a companion to the episodes from now on, I'm going to go ahead and create kind of a little narrative that you can follow along. So if we're talking about something and we go down one of our rabbit holes or on a tangent or whatever, we'll put a link there and you can understand, find out what exactly it is we're talking about. Follow me @TimAndrews here on Twitter if you want to hear me talk about politics, which I try not to do, but I do anyway, and it makes me happy sometimes. It's fun to watch the world imploding on itself politically. Anyway, Ira.
Well, I would like to say you can find all of our other shows and this show at twofacesradio.com, except for Contractor's Corner. I haven't put it. No, by the time this airs, I'm going to put Contractor's Corner on there as well. There'll be a new Grab Your Balls, Let's Talk Sports this week. And a new, yeah, check out the latest Contractor's Corner with my buddy Reese Nazaro. Guaranteed you'll be cracking up. That's what people keep saying about it. And that's all I get. All right, I'm going to see Beavis on Friday night.
Who?
That whole text?
You're going to see what?
Oh, I'm going to see this guitarist at Blind Willis.
Oh, yeah.
Anson Funderburg, who used to tour with Mike Judge when Mike Judge was a bass player. And the story goes that Mike Judge based Beavis on this guy, Anson Funderburg. And I sent those guys a picture. Maybe we'll post that picture somewhere. And he looks like
Beavis.
Yeah,
he looks exactly like Beavis.
So, and I've heard Mike Judge talk about playing with that band in interviews, and he hasn't brought it up. So I wonder if Anson said, hey, quit it with the Beavis shit.
Jeff.
JeffKeyz on Twitter. If you want to see me talking about Comic Book Man or playing the At Midnight hashtag wars or talking about Tell 'em Steve Dave, the other big podcast that I listen to. JeffKeyz on Twitter.
Stephalumpagus on Twitter, and I make jokes sometimes and tweet at celebrities other times.
I see you. I follow you. I retweet you from time to time.
I say that. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you to Freddie Hammer for doing our intro voice. Thank you to John Mark Lundell for the great music. Thank you to Rob Jenners for creating some of our elements as well. Please like us, rate us, love us, and share us with your friends. Please share us with friends. And thank you very much for listening. We're doing well with the downloads, and we appreciate you guys sticking with us.
Absolutely.
We will talk to you next week. Until that time, keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.